Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. The common ministry of every single saint in the final 42 months before the return of the King of Kings, Messiah ben David, the Creator and Redeemer and owner of the fullness of the whole earth, the common ministry of every saint in those final 42 months is war. Yes, the Antichrist and his demonic minions are given power to wage war on the saints and to overcome them. But they, the people of the faith, real faith, very definite article, but they overcame him, the Antichrist, and his whole demonic host by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. We can see the Antichrist, prince of the power of the air, has a media blitz to instill fear to the point of panic, paralyzing people with fear and confusion. And while we are to walk soberly and circumspectly, meaning that we are to be aware of what's going on in this world around us, God commands us over and over to fear not. And the choice is tough. It's a simple choice, but it's a tough choice. Will we fear God rightly? Unto real faith, or else as a result of holding on to our delusions will we be overwhelmed with fear of what's coming upon this earth. It really is all about faith now. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Luke 18:8. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Philippians 1:28. Hope you all have that one memorized. Philippians 1:28. You need that one in your memory. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. The tactics of the Antichrist global control freaks should be clear to all believers by now. Create the problem of terror and terrorism, control the reaction of the people to the terror of the escalating violence in order to reach the solution for which they created the problem in the first place. The Luciferian control freaks. That's the game plan, obviously. Their goal, or their solution, is total Antichrist government control of all people, even to kill over 90% of the people on earth. For Lucifer, their god of death, lies, and destruction. That's the game plan. And if anybody has difficulty believing that, they can just look at Lucifer's 10 on the website. Those guys actually chiseled it in stone and built a interstate highway spur to nowhere but this place where they have it chiseled in stone. They want to reduce the population of this planet to 500 million. Well, just do the math. That means over 90% of us have got to go. 93% of us have got to go for their god, Lucifer. Yeah, the Georgia Guidestones. That's it. The mystery of iniquity has got an attracting power. And you know this as well as I do, that this mystery of iniquity has an attracting power. People want to know what's going to happen next and when. But I ask you, can the fact that we know what's going to happen next, can that really change anything? Will that really make any difference? To know what's going to happen next, will that really make any difference 100 years from now? See, really, only in one way will it make any difference. If our heart is truly set to give him glory, he will receive that glory, and we likely will hear his voice leading away from ground zero of an incoming Russian nuke. On the other hand, if we want to move from where we are to save our flesh, then we're not likely to be hearing what we really need to hear. What is the mystery about the treacherous dealers dealing so treacherously? There's really no mystery about that. That's what treacherous dealers do. They deal treacherously. What is the mystery about the wicked doing wickedly? That's no mystery, is it? The mystery would be why anyone would think that they would change to be less wicked or less treacherous. That's the mystery. It's a mystery to me how people who look at what these elections that these Luciferians put on, as though that could provide any real hope of change. 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us that these evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. God said so. So that shouldn't be any mystery to us. These evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Anyone else is deceived to think this is going to change before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it really is now time to keep the main thing the main thing. And that is the main thing right now. And the main thing now is faith, real faith. Real faith that honors God. Real faith that hungers to know what God has said with a full determination to do what God said just because God said so. That is the real faith that honors God as God. That's the real thing. That's the faith of Abraham. And that real faith will witness the manifestation of his exceeding great mighty power to deliver his people. And the rest, anything else other than this fullness of determination to do what God said just because God said so, the rest of it is phony baloney. It's vain. It's powerless. And it's not going to make a difference 100 years from now. However, this real faith will make a difference 100 years from now. It honors God. But the rest is phony baloney. It's vain, it's powerless, and it's not going to make any difference 100 years from now. But this real faith, this determination to do what God said just because God said so, will definitely make a difference 100 years from now. Because the just shall live by faith. And we need to examine ourselves. It's not the other guy. It's you and me. We need to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith, very definite article, and do that which will cause our faith to grow quickly. That's our duty. That's our job. That's keeping things in right priority. And that means reading that KJV Holy Bible rather than the newspaper. It means reading what God said rather than the fear-mongering reports and the other distractions which can keep us away from building faith. And that also means learning spiritual warfare and deliverance, which most now are finding comes almost automatically by the Holy Spirit if they diligently are reading the KJV Holy Bible. Have you noticed that? I ask you, has that become a reality, something that's obvious to you, that the principles and tactics of spiritual warfare and deliverance come just about automatically by the Holy Ghost as you diligently and on a disciplined basis read every word of that God-promised perfect Holy Bible? And there's only one Holy Bible, brethren. As sure as there's only one Holy God, God promised a perfect Bible. And yeah, we should read it the way God said to read it. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. We need every word in context, rightly divided by the Holy Ghost. We are battling the devils. That's what we're really battling. It's not the people. It's the devils in them. And our King showed us how. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Do you see that? Every word. Watch for the technique again of how our Lord demonstrated battling directly with Satan himself. Luke 4:4. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Isn't that nice? And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That is written. And every word is important. Yeah, the words are important. Every word. Every word is important. You see, the words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. The words are important, not the concepts, not the ideas. They'll be there if you get the words right. But if you don't get the words right, you're on pretty shaky ground to get the concepts right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word that is written, every word is important. It is all the word of God, and that KJV, that King Jesus Version Holy Bible, is the only place where we can get every word. The Greek New Testament, upon which all the other profane Bibles are based to a greater or lesser extent, has 5,337 deletions in just the New Testament. You are not going to get every word of God from any other Bible, even if it has a Hebrew rooty-tooty Bible spin to it. Thank God we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God in that KJV, that God-promised perfect Holy Bible. It is the only Bible that has not had the principles and tactics of spiritual warfare and deliverance effectively removed. You know, we mourn over the abominations now being done in Jerusalem. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem. God said so. And if anyone is not sighing and crying over the abominations now being done in Jerusalem, somebody maybe ought to love them enough to tell them that they will probably not make it in this war. For only those who do know and obey the double imperative command of the Lord to his people in these last days will be sealed in the fullness of his Holy Spirit power. That's a bold statement. I believe it's true. I believe it's based on so many scriptures. You could just about have a book of the scriptures upon which that is based. Those who sigh and cry over the abominations being done in Jerusalem will walk in the exploits which Daniel spoke of in 11:32. And those exploits are the same greater works of which Jesus spoke of in John 14:12. The double imperative command of the Lord is comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. People miss that. I don't know how they're going to make it. So let's get down to what really honors God. How many Hebrew words we know is not where it's at. If nobody else will tell you that, I'll tell you that. And yeah, I'm Messianic. Y'all know that. But how many Hebrew words we know is not where it's at. And that's not really what it's about in terms of honoring God. No, that's not where it's at. In planting and nurturing Messianic congregations before Messianic became cool or messy, I do know that the Hebrew words are not the ticket, brethren. Maybe someday soon I'll deal with that issue in a little bit more depth. But just to keep it real short and simple as possible, let me just say, I do know Yeshua. That says it all. I do know Yeshua. Do you know him? See, I've determined not to know anything among even you precious brethren, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I know Yeshua. I also know how many Hebrew words he would speak, because I know him. See, I know Yeshua. And I know how many Hebrew words he would speak if he visited any Messianic congregation in America or Germany or Portugal or Spain. You can just guess how many. Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was a very, very close follower of Messiah. And he'll give you a clue to how many Hebrew words he or Yeshua would use in any Messianic congregation in America, Spain, France, Germany, South Africa. 1 Corinthians 14, 18 through 20. So let's hear what he's saying. By the Spirit. See, this is what people need to hear. People need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And brethren, I hate stupid games in the house of God, don't you? I know you do. You hate it. Be strong. And quit yourselves like men. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Yeah, there's a war. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Watch ye. Yeah, it's a command of God. We're supposed to watch. We're supposed to be sober and walk circumspectly. We're supposed to know what's going on around us. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let us quit religious comedy and get real. Jesus said there was a Roman centurion who had greater faith than any of the apostles. Greater than anyone he had seen in all of Israel. A Roman centurion. Can you imagine that? That Roman centurion had such great faith because he understood authority. We need to understand authority. God gives us authority, but it's not much use if we don't understand it. That's why Jesus marveled. Can you imagine God marveling at the faith of anyone? He marveled at two things. It's a marvelous thing to think that God marveled about anything. But two things caused him to marvel. He marveled at the faith of this Roman centurion, and he marveled at the unbelief of the people in his own native territory up in the Galilee region. But that Roman centurion had such great faith because he understood authority. The first thing the Roman centurion said regarding authority was that he himself was a man under authority. You miss that, you miss everything. He was a man under authority, and that is the key, under authority. In this Antichrist war on the saints, we must understand the relation of faith and authority. God is God. God is God. Now, most people brush that off as though that is such a simple thing. Who would ever say something so foolishly simple? You will never plumb the depths of that one. God is God. That's the straight gate. That's the first commandment. That three-word sentence can tell us so much about faith and the relation of faith to authority. It tells us so much about how the faithful remnant body of Messiah will be brought together in unity of the Spirit of truth by the Word of God. It really does. I tell you this, if you don't get that first commandment right, you're never going to have much hope of getting two commandments right, or 613 commandments right, or the 800 commandments in the New Testament right. You can't get any of them right if you don't get the first one right. And that is the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God. I am that I am. God is God. And if one has any understanding of authority, we must know that being under authority comes first. Otherwise, you don't have any understanding of authority at all. Do you understand how much better and more important it is to be under authority than it is to be in authority? Do you understand that? No one should be in authority if they have not proven themselves first to be under authority. In fact, you cannot be in authority if you're not under authority. You cannot. You cannot be in authority if you're not under authority. God is God, you see. To strive to be in authority rather than to be under authority is to be walking in rebellion and not faith. And that's why rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. People who understand authority always prefer to be under authority. But they also know that they have been given authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Ooh. How much power is that? All they've been given. When they are walking and they are under authority, they know that they have been given authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. The people of God walk in faith, not rebellion. They walk always under authority and are ready to exercise the positional authority that they have been given in Messiah. People of faith know that they must at times exercise authority, and yet they remain under authority because God is God. The true God sets free from bondage. Every false god is a control freak. Priestcraft, that Nicolaitan spirit of control that Jesus hates, is so captivating to people of faith because people of faith know God is God. And they must be under authority. That's why that spirit that Jesus hates, that spirit of priestcraft, that Nicolaitan spirit, that's why it's so captivating. Because people of faith know God is God. They know they must be under authority if they're going to be in authority. That's why it's so captivating. If God has placed them under one whom the Lord has called and chosen to be in authority over him, they are much more content with that situation. Oh yeah, people of faith really are. They're much more content with that situation than to be under the direct authority of the Lord. Not that he's a hard taskmaster, but that's the Lord. You might get away with disobedience to a man. Oh, and God is good and God is forgiving, but if you really thought it through right, you would prefer to be under some God-ordained authority more so than to be under the very direct authority of the Lord. People of faith know this. And they also know, people of real faith know that to get out from under God-ordained authority is rebellion, see? People of faith know that. And they would also be taken from the authority that they have been given over all the power of the enemy, you see. When they get out from that authority that they've been placed under, they know that if they move out from under that authority, then the authority that they have been given over all the power of the enemy, they've lost it. And Satan, at that point, could easily destroy them. This is what people of faith eventually come to understand. And many people of faith, including me, I have fallen for the tricks of priestcraft. Sure. And the reason is because the regenerated and renewed mind is quickened to switch quickly from questioning and testing or proving to faith regarding the supernatural works which glorify God. When we know our Heavenly Father will be glorified or pleased with any act that is made in the name of our Lord and Savior, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Yeshua, people of faith have their reason quickly give way to faith. If they know that God is being glorified in the name of Jesus. And see, real faith is not the absence of reason. Real faith is the highest act of reason. I'm telling you, brethren, real faith is not the absence of reason. Real faith is the highest act of reason. The questioning attitude of people with renewed and regenerated minds toward the supernatural is that of testing and proving. However, the renewed and regenerated mind of Christ is quickened by the Holy Ghost to switch quickly from questioning to faith. And you see, it's this reality that can make people of faith among the most easily taken by the works of priestcraft. People of faith are people under authority. They want to be under authority because they know God is God. And I'm sure some of you have heard some of these catchphrases of priestcraft, some of the tricky phrases that are used in priestcraft. Let me give you some of the big ones. The Vicar of Christ, that's a priestcraft phrase if there ever was one. The voice of the church, the voice of the prophet of God. Those are catchwords. That sort of thing can cause anyone to submit very easily or stop using the renewed mind that Christians are supposed to have and to keep sharp. The self-control fruit of the Spirit is most important as it relates to the mind. The Christian can never willingly empty or blank his mind. No, the Christian will not do that. And this is what goes on in the Benny Hinn Show and the Todd Bentley Show. Now, it's done with great, masterful subtlety, but this is still what's happening, you see. And the real Christian knows that he will never willingly empty his mind. Anybody knows anything about the occult, you empty your mind, guess what? You're going to get spiritual, all right, but it ain't going to be Holy Spirit spiritual. A demon's going to fill it. We are to exercise the self-control fruit of the Spirit. Most specially and most particularly as it relates to the mind. And this gullibility can overtake anyone, especially people of faith. It's overtaken me. I'm not going to hide that from you. It happens. I've fallen for it. And hopefully, I've gained some wisdom from His grace to repent. But if and when God speaks now listen to this, don't miss what I'm trying to communicate to you. But if and when God speaks, the questioning must give place to faith. I hope you don't miss this. If and when God speaks, the questioning then must give place to faith. But the Christian is careful not to submit the control of his rational mind to anyone other than Yeshua Messiah. I hope you don't miss this. The Christian is supposed to exercise the self-control fruit of the Spirit in regard to the mind and be very careful not to submit the control of his rational mind to anyone other than Yeshua the Messiah, the Word of God. And though the renewed mind is something we keep working on, it is through this renewed mind that we test and prove all things. And yet this same renewed mind is still quick to grab hold by faith to that which is good and is discerned to be the perfect will of God or for the glory of God. Hope you understand that. Amen. Good word. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. There it is. See it? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whose name is called the Word of God, by the way. We submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. That's step one. We submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. We obey those who have the rule over us, for they must give an account. And we follow those who are called of God to lead as they follow Messiah. Greatness in His kingdom is found by serving and washing feet, binding up the brokenhearted, setting the captives free with His truth, and not our limited perspectives of the truth. The focus must be outward as well as upward to Him. We do not allow the focus to be inward. And don't you see, this is what's going on in Todd Bentley and Benny Hinn's shows. It's an emptying of the mind, which the Christian never does. That's a cult. Now, Hindus do that. Buddhists do that. Christians don't do that. The focus has got to be outward as well as upward to our King. And we do not allow the focus to be inward. That's part of the discipline of a believer. We see the entire world choked in the thorns of the cares of this life. And none of them are that important, really. They're all going to pass away. But the Word of God will not pass away. When the stuff of this world does pass away, the only thing that will have mattered is whether or not we had a personal relationship with God the Father through His Son, Yeshua. And whether or not we were a light to others and helped bring others into the knowledge of the truth, bringing glory to God and pleasing God and not self-seeking. I tremble with fear sometimes. Not fear of man, no. Not fear of the fearful things coming upon this earth. I tremble in fear of walking in rebellion and walking out of His perfect will. I fear walking away from the safety and security of being under the authority which He has called or positioned me. Jesus teaches us not to fear anything or anyone but God. He told us not to fear the one who can take our life, but to fear Him who, after taking our life, can cast our soul into everlasting torment. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then the love of the Lord must be the completion of it. And we better not get the cart before the horse on this one. God is God. Yeshua defined that for us by saying that if you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't that simple? You know what? That's pretty simple, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the love of the Lord is the completion of it. And you better not get the cart before the horse on that one. God is God. Yeshua defined that for us. So clear, so simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the reconciling and uniting of the body of Messiah will come. It's going to happen. And it will come through the understanding of our positional authority. That's how it's going to happen. By the understanding of our positional authority in the body of Christ. And so we all need better understanding of the intercession of our Savior and King that allows us to be counted as children of the living God and joint heirs with the King of Kings. Understanding the greatness of the privilege to come boldly under the throne of grace and to find grace and help in time of need, we must learn and firm up the foundation of the fear of God. That comes first. And we then seek the understanding of who we are in Him, the positional authority we have in Him. And that's what "in the name of" really is all about. You know, we pray in the name of Yeshua. "In the name of" is an expression of positional authority. That's what that term "in the name of" really is all about, positional authority. To me, "in the name of Jesus," "in the name of Yahweh," "in the name of Yeshua" is the key to all of it. And it's very sad how few understand it. It's not how you say some word. My goodness, how far could somebody miss something? It is, do you have the positional authority? It's not how you pronounce some word. Understanding the greatness and privilege to come boldly unto the throne of grace and to find grace and help of time of need, It's all about this positional authority that we have in Him. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Yahweh, the key to it all, really, is do we have the right standing in positional authority to speak in the name of the King of Kings? That's what it's about. Do we or do we not have that positional authority to speak in the name of the King? With the authority of the King backing it up. Remember, He's the one that said, "Let there be light." Guess what happened? See, and this is truly what we need to comprehend now. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. See, God is love. That we can comprehend the fullness of this love of God and the positional authority that we have in Christ. The Antichrist governments of this world, the Antichrist church, the Antichrist economic system does not have authority. The Antichrist laws give power of force to these unlawful laws, these ungodly laws. The Antichrist government gives power of force. Law enforcement officers used to be called peace officers. Peace officers, now they're law enforcement. There's a real difference there. They do not have real authority. We can have positional authority, though. See, and we're supposed to. We are the legitimate occupying authorities on this planet. That's our duty. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. We are to rule with wisdom and love on this earth till the King gets back. We're the ones with the authority. We may not have power of ungodly force, like the law enforcement officers, but we have the authority. See, they don't have authority. And we can have this positional authority. And that's a big part, brethren, of the deceitfulness of sin. See, we have positional authority as kings and priests. But those who are working for Lucifer by design, by default, by ignorance, or willing ignorance, they may have power of force. They may have power of force of these ungodly and unlawful laws, but they do not have authority. And it's going to become evident when we're brought before their judges and their governors and their kings for Jesus' sake, for a testimony against them, yes. And they're going to drag us into these kangaroo courts too. And it's going to become evident who has the authority. Then we will speak with authority. And if we look at how Jesus taught us to pray, it really is very simple. God only has one answer to prayer, yes and amen, in Christ Jesus. The question is, will God hear our prayer? How did He teach us to pray? Father. Will God, our Father, hear our prayer? Father. That's the most highly privileged name in powerful prayer. No name that any Hebrewite can form with their mouth compares with Father, unless it's Abba. Where these people get this, it's religious spirits is what it is. Religious demon counterfeit spirits is where they get it. But it doesn't come from logic. They're not thinking with a renewed mind to come up with this foolishness. And that's what it is, foolishness. What a privilege, though, to call God our Father. Whew. You see, if He will hear our prayer, it's a done deal. We know that absolutely nothing is impossible for Him except to lie. So the whole key in prayer is, are we in Christ Jesus? Are we in Him? Are we looking at this situation the way Jesus would look at it? And can we, like Jesus, see how the Father will be glorified in doing that for which we pray? Is God's glory the issue? Now, we know that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. There's that deceitfulness of sin again, you see it? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And we also know that if we're asking for something to gratify our lust, He's not going to hear that. We know that if we're asking for something that is not in His will, the Lord is not going to hear our prayer. But otherwise now, we do know that if He hears us, then it's done. The key then is to develop that mind of Christ, to see clearly how the Father would be glorified. And that's where the effectualness of our fervent prayer becomes very, very, very effective. We need to have our mind transformed and renewed by the Word to be conformed, to take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. Everything He did was to give glory to the Father. And when we develop that kind of mindset, then we pray like Jesus did. And we see results like Jesus did that glorify the Father in Yeshua's name. Yeshua said we must be as a child, or we cannot see His kingdom, we cannot enter it, we cannot function in it, we can't even stay in it. I really love the way Dr. Lawrence gave us that definition, the physiological definition of a child. A child is one who is in a state of growth. That's how it's defined. Someone who is in a state of growth. We must remain teachable. We do not arrive this side of glory. We do not attain. We continue to grow. Glory to God. If you can learn something from me, fine. But I'm not your teacher. I'm not your teacher. Yeshua said the Holy Spirit is to be our teacher. He is the one who will teach us all things and show us things to come. It's our duty to remain childlike, growing from faith to faith, teachable. Understanding James, you'd burden you with the singing of it. I am glad you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I'm glad about that. I really am glad about that. And that's why you should know all things. By that unction of the Spirit of Truth, causing you to know how to rightly divide the Word of Truth and apply it to the situation we're dealing with. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And He will teach us all things and show us things to come. And it's our duty to remain childlike, growing from faith to faith, teachable. And those who presume to teach, according to James 3:1, will be held accountable before God Almighty for any of His people who we mislead or cause to fall, any which way. We all have only one and the same teacher that we can trust, the Holy Spirit of Truth. Now, the power of the early apostolic church was their unity. And we're going to see this again. We're going to see it even manifest greater than it was then. But this power, the more you study it, the more you read the book of Acts and see when God's power was being manifest, there is a very obvious thing that was happening within that church group when God's power was manifest. They were in one accord. Just do a quick word study. One accord. You'll see it. In one accord. Praying and fasting in one accord. Spiritual power works exponentially in God's kingdom. Don't ever miss that. Because it's a profound truth. And this is why Satan does this divide and conquer thing so much. And with such intensity. Because spiritual power works exponentially in God's kingdom. When you see that one man with the Lord was able to put 1,000 enemies to flight and two were able to put 10,000, we should realize the power of unity and being under authority. We should realize the power of unity in the body and also why the demons work so hard to prevent unity. The power is not going to be found in the big numbers of the mega churches or things like the PK rallies or the big revival tents or whatever. You're not going to find it there. You're going to find counterfeits there. Amen. It's for God's glory, not ours. Amen. God's power being manifest greater than in that early apostolic church will come to His little faithful remnant flocks, who are in genuine unity, under authority, by the Spirit of Truth and Holiness. We have been given authority over all the power of the enemy, but it only happens when we're under authority and in unity, properly submitted to God, and you can't be properly submitted to God unless we have submitted ourselves to one another in the fear of God. It just don't happen otherwise. We have been given authority over all the power of the enemy, and we will see that power manifest as soon as we are in genuine unity, and that unity must be according to the Word of God by the Spirit of truth and holiness. And that's the important thing about the scripture that says, if two or more of you are in agreement about anything, it shall be done. Yeshua wanted us to understand the power of unity. It is unity of the Spirit of truth, unity in Messiah and His doctrine by His Spirit of truth. It's not just going along to get along. It's not just unity for the sake of unity. No, it is unity in Messiah, in His doctrine, by His Spirit of truth. It is not unity for the sake of unity. As certainly as there is only one true God and many false gods, there is only one Spirit of truth and only one true Spirit among a world full of spirits that will bring this essential unity. And that unity we must find, brethren. It is not optional. We must find that unity. And it involves sound doctrine. Doctrine is important. And we will find that unity in these last days if we're really pressing in now to this mystery of the ages. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and in you all. And that unity we must find, and we will find it in these days. He will be glorified in His body, which is His saints, in unity by the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. So, let me give you an important question. Who is my God-given, God-ordained authority? Have you asked yourself that question this week? Who is my God-given, ordained authority? That's an important question, I promise you. For children, it's easy. Mom and dad. Okay, it's so easy for kids. Mom and dad. For wives, it's easy. Your husband. Well, he's not a believer. That's irrelevant. I'm sorry, that's irrelevant. What do you want to do? Create some double-headed monster? No. He'll be one. You do your part, he'll be one. Yes, he will. Yeah, God said so. You do it God's way, he's going to be one. By that meek and quiet spirit. Yes, he will. God said so. And for wives, it's easy. Your husband. See? But I'll tell you this, for husbands, it can be very difficult these days. Beware the spirit of control, the Nicolaitan spirit or priestcraft. Don't go there. Find your God-given authority, this God-ordained authority, and be careful to stay under it. And all husbands should understand that you are the elder of the church of Yeshua Messiah in your house. And when somebody comes in who is an elder visiting your home, another elder who understands authority, they will acknowledge and salute the positional authority that you have in your home. The elder will salute the peace of God and godly order, which is the duty of the husband to maintain. And you watch out if visiting church dignitaries do not discern that peace and do not salute that peace and do not strengthen the hands of the man responsible for the peace in that church of Jesus Christ in his house, in your house. You watch for that. Now I tell you this, I'm expecting, now this is not thus saith the Lord, this is Jim speaking, but I'm expecting that incarnate angel to be sent forth, Yom Kippur. But whether it is then or not, soon, I think it's safe to say, soon the inkhorn angel will be sent forth to seal his people to walk in and maintain fullness of his Holy Spirit. And how the Father may be glorified in the name of Yeshua, and walking in his perfect will for his glory, will be our only concern. Wouldn't that be great to have that be the only concern you had. We will witness the exceeding greatness of His mighty power. We will not have any self-will resistance to the power of the Holy Ghost to accomplish the perfect will of God. And that's what we'll care about. We'll care about that perfect will of God. I'm glad you got a handle on these things. I don't think that anybody here does not have a handle on it, but at the same time, I don't think there's anybody here that couldn't use a little bit tighter grip on this. But I do believe that soon that incarnate angel is going to be sent forth to seal His people to walk in and maintain fullness of His Holy Spirit. How the Father may be glorified in the name of Yeshua, and walking in His perfect will for His glory. That's going to be our only concern. That's going to be great, isn't it? And that's when we're going to witness the exceeding greatness of His mighty power. And we're not going to have any self-will resistance to the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that perfect will of God. And how we should be longing for that. But again, we also need to understand the deceitfulness of sin. We can already see glimpses of the light of His glory that shall arise over His people. Already, in the midst of this darkness that's descending upon this whole earth, we see glimpses of His glory manifest in and through His people who are under authority. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And actually, the brightness that is seen will be seen to be brighter as the darkness thickens. The darkness cannot overcome the light. The light always overcomes the darkness and shines even brighter in the darkness. It's not numbers, brethren. It's God who is the light. If it be only one, and there is unity with the light, which will empower that one to stand and even shine to manifest His light in the midst of the darkness. And yet we do know that soon His angel will be sent forth to seal His people. It is soon. It's certainly time for the four carpenters of Zechariah 1:18 through 21. I think those guys are late for work. But it is time also for that inkhorn sealing angel of Ezekiel 9. What I'm talking about is that angel, that sealing angel of Ezekiel 9, which is the same one as you find in Revelation 7 and Revelation 9. So as we look and see this evil system very quickly rising, we should not feel hopeless, brethren. And do not feel like you have no power, because God is pouring out mighty anointings on His faithful remnant. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I'm seeing God doing such a mighty and quick work in those people who make that absolute commitment to trust and obey His word. He is in them now, restoring the years that the locust and the canker have taken away, like it said in Joel 2:25. I never doubt the mercy of God. So I think we're going to participate in the greatest harvest that no harvest will compare with this harvest. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Keep Him at the forefront of your mind in all the things that you do, all the time. And pray always. Above all, read His God-promised perfect KJV Holy Bible. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith, faith, faith is what we need. I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Brethren, you will make it if you put God first. You will make it if you put God first. You will make it if you cling to our Savior King Jesus with all your strength. You will make it if you love God with all your heart and put Him first. You will make it if you reach out and love others. Look around you and put the main thing, and keep the main thing. All that you see. Look around you. All that you see around you is soon going to be gone. All the money that people think is security will one day soon be worthless. Brethren, what can we do today that will make a difference 100 years from now? Think about that. What can I do to please you, Lord Jesus, this day? How may I be a blessing to someone in your name, Lord Jesus? Keep your heart set on being a blessing to others in the name of Jesus. Keep your heart set on things above, and don't let your heart be troubled. No, don't let it. It's a choice. God commands it. Let not your heart be troubled. Heaven is not that bad, brethren. Learn the fear of God, for that is His treasure. The fear of the Lord is His treasure, Isaiah 33:6. And keep that foundation of the fear of God strong. Know that God sees every deed. He hears every word. He knows every thought. Just keeping that in mind will go a long way to help you with getting your thought process in order. Just keep an awareness that God knows every thought that you think. That'll keep you walking in the fear of God more than anything else I know. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear Him and delivers them. If you have learned and strengthened your foundation of the fear of God, then concentrate on who you are in Christ Jesus. We are seated with Him at the Father's right hand through His Holy Spirit of truth. And He is not ashamed to call us His brethren. He, by the price of His blood, has given us the spirit of adoption whereby we can call His Father our Father. We can and do have positional authority. Who really has authority in the middle of a demon-possessed world? Who really has authority? Think about it. We do. Yes, we do. We got the authority. They may have power or force, but we got the authority, you see. So, to summarize it, number one, learn the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is learned. You never get enough. You never get your cup completely full of the fear of the Lord. That comes first. Learn the fear of God. And then be sure you are under God-ordained authority. Be sure you are under your God-ordained authority. Then understand the deceitfulness of sin. And then go for this understanding of the positional authority that we have in Christ. We submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. We obey those who have the rule over us, for they must give an account. We follow those who are called of God to lead as they follow Messiah. And greatness in His kingdom is found by serving. God's great ones wash feet. They bind up the brokenhearted. They set the captives free with His truth, and not just our limited perspectives of the truth. God is God. God is God. That is the straight gate, and that's the first commandment. And you're not going to be very good at keeping any of the commandments, whether it's 2, 613, or all 800 of the New Testament, if you don't get that first one right. God is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints. Reminding you that The king is coming. And our king said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.